It is certainly good to see everyone here again tonight. And we would like to encourage you to turn in your New Testaments to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 will be the text we'll be utilizing in our lesson this evening, at least to begin our time together. Actually, we're going to be looking at a number of passages where the phrase, the way, is used in Scripture. It's something that gives me a great deal of joy to be identified with the people of God. And there are a number of ways in Scripture in which that is done. We are referred to as citizens in the kingdom of God, members of the Lord's body, branches in the vine. We are referred to as Christians, as saints, as children in the family of God, collectively as the bride to the bridegroom, which is Christ. All of those are utilized to express various aspects of the relationships that we sustain with God and His people. And there is a sense of community that comes as a result of each of those. The recognition that we are part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And as a result, we enjoy privileges and blessings that perhaps those who are outside of that Commonwealth of Israel. There's another expression that we use from time to time to describe ourselves, spiritual Israel, those who are of the spiritual circumcision. All of those indicate to us a special relationship, and we should be grateful, maybe not prideful, but grateful for the fact that we have that opportunity to be in that number. One of the expressions that is used a number of times in the book of Acts is the way. And it is interesting that it was most probably a favorite expression, or at least a common expression, of the historian Luke, because it is found almost exclusively in his book of Acts, the book that he wrote as a companion volume to the Gospel of Luke. But it also is a phrase that Paul used as well. So I can almost see that Luke, as a companion of Paul in the travels, that this in their conversation would be a way of describing the people of God in their own conversation, because Luke uses it in his writing. The Apostle Paul used it in the defense that he gave on a number of occasions. We want to spend just a little bit of time this evening talking about the origin of that phrase, what it means, and the significance of it. And I think it will be something that would be beneficial to us, perhaps give you another way of noting just how privileged we are to be the people of God. So in Acts chapter 9, we find the first example of this in verses 1 and 2. On this particular occasion, we have recorded for us the words of Luke as he describes what Saul of Tarsus was doing. Saul, we are told, was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and he went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, there is something to note here, and that is that it is possible, though it's difficult for us to ascertain this from Scripture, that this might be a way in which Christians were commonly referred to. That is, it may be that this was the phrase that Saul of Tarsus used. It may be that Luke was simply identifying the group that he was seeking to persecute. But it is interesting, that phrase used, that if any be found who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So this is an interesting description of the disciples of Jesus. They are referred to in the first verse as disciples of the Lord, and then in that second verse as individuals who were of the way. That was the group that Saul sought to persecute. Other references are found throughout the book of Acts that we want to make note of. I've got about five that I want to note very quickly, so you may have to be turning fairly quickly to keep up with me. The next passage is in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. On that occasion, Paul was defending himself to the mob in Jerusalem. This is what eventually led to his arrest eventually to his imprisonment in Rome. But as he gives his defense to this large group of Jews, he said, "I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." So there we have, in Paul's own words, a reference to the people of God, the disciples of the Lord, as being those who are of the way. Slightly different usage of the term, this way, and we'll talk about the ways in which this is used in a few moments' time. Go over now to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 9. On this occasion, the opponents of Paul at Ephesus, we are told that when the gospel was preached to them, that some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude. And so Paul departed from them, withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So here, it's not the Apostle Paul's words, but it's the way Luke describes in his narrative the people of God. The individuals who spoke evil, they spoke evil of those who are of the way. Now go down a few verses, down to verse 23. This was when a riot was occurring at Ephesus, fomented by the silversmiths led by Demetrius. You'll remember on that occasion, because he was turning so many away from the worship of their idols as silversmiths, that they thought it was going to impact their business, and so they instigated this rebellion. You'll notice in verse 23 of the text, about that time there arose a great commotion, this riot against or about the way. And so here again is the reference. And there, just to go quickly over the last couple, in chapter 24 and verse 14, from the words of the Apostle Paul himself in his confession that he made to Felix. The confession he made to Felix in Acts 24 and verse 14 of the text, he said, "This I confess to you, that according to the way which they called a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Now, a couple of things to note. In Acts chapter 9, he threatened the way. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 4, Paul, in defending himself to the mob in Jerusalem, said, "I persecuted the way." But now here in Acts chapter 24 to verse 14, Paul is confessing to Felix that "I am a part of the way." So I think we can see some irony in regard to that. But again, it is a self-identification with a particular group that is identified using this particular phrase. And then a little bit later in verse 22 of that same chapter, Acts 24 and verse 22, as Felix learned about it, we are told that Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way. He adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias the commander comes down, I'll make a decision on your case." So these are the times in which the word "this way" or "the way" is used in the book of Acts. Sometimes it is related by Luke as he designated the people of God, sometimes from the words, the mouth of the Apostle Paul himself. But it was something that was fairly common in the early church. And it's interesting that today the expression "the way" is something that is rarely used. I wonder why that is. I think that I know at least in part why that may be, and that is because it has been appropriated to a certain extent by individuals who are not walking as they should walk. Religious people. There are some parachurch organizations. There are a few individual mega churches that use this particular phrase. There are even a couple of examples of cults or groups that have kind of cultic tendencies that refer to themselves as the way. And so it may be that we're a little bit hesitant to refer to us in that way. Now, I must confess that I get a little bit irritated when someone appropriates a term that is legitimate, a scriptural term, and make it their own, and they do not do justice to it. In 1 Corinthians, you'll remember the Apostle Paul refers to the church of God, which is at Corinth, and that is a right and proper designation of the people of God, referring to us as the church of God. And yet there is a denomination that teaches religious error that has taken that phrase and almost, at least in the mind of society, made it their own. And I must confess that is something that frustrates me, and something that from time to time I will fight against and insist on referring to our congregation as a church of God, or referring to our group as individuals who are of the way. And I think that it's important that we not simply give up that ground, because this is certainly a description that is used by the people of God. It is one that is referred to by inspiration a number of times in Scripture. And so we want to make sure that we acknowledge its validity as a description of God's people. Now the question is, And what we seek to answer in our lesson today is, well, where did it come from? What was its origin? Why did they call themselves those who are of the way? Why were they referred to in that way? And is there any significance for that to that for us today? Let me rephrase that. Is there any significance to that phrase for us today? So we want to discuss that for a few moments in our lesson this evening. The first thing I want to talk about is the origin of the term. And as far as we can determine, the origin would be in the language that our Lord himself used on numerous occasions in his ministry. Let me give you a couple of examples. In Matthew chapter 7, there is a teaching that Jesus gave on his Sermon on the Mount to his disciples and others who were listening when he said unto them, "Enter into the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction, and there are many go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now here in this particular text, there are actually two ways that are referred to. And when we talk about followers of Jesus, we know and understand that the way that's under consideration is that way which is difficult, which leads to life. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we continue in our lesson. So Jesus, he referred to the way which leads to life. But I think that there is an even more apropos passage of Scripture in John chapter 14 when Jesus claimed to be the way himself. "I am the way," John 14 and verse 6. He was teaching his disciples. He had told them that there are many mansions and I go to prepare one for you, and then I will return to you, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas told him, "Well, where are you going? How can we know the way to where you are going?" And Jesus said in answer to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." So I want you to note especially that last phrase. Yes, he is the way, but no man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And so when we're talking about the way, we are talking about the way to the Father in heaven, the way to life eternal. And so it is not surprising that this language might be used, recognizing Jesus' statement, "I am the way," that when individuals talk about Christians on any particular occasion, they would refer to them as people of the way. Now, when we talk about that phrase, there are a couple of things that we could have in mind, and I think all are legitimate. For example, we could refer to the teaching, "I showed him the way." And so if we present the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are expressing to individuals the way in which they can go to heaven. So we are revealing to them the way. And it can have reference to that, the teaching of the gospel itself. But also, when we talk about the way, there is an indication of walking in a particular direction. That is what is found there in Matthew chapter 7. And so it could have reference to the Christian's conduct, the way he comports himself, the direction that he goes in his life, that he is walking on the way that is difficult, that leads to life, the one that there be few who find it. But there is that third way in which it is used, and I think used that way in Acts the 9th chapter, when he found someone, either man or woman, of the way to bring them bound to Jerusalem. And that is, it is referring to the Christian community in general. So if you are of the way, if you are one of the way, that indicates that you are a part of the church of our Lord. You are a part of the citizen, you're a citizen in the kingdom. You are a part of the body of Christ. All of those images that we use to describe the group who are called out of the world, those who are sanctified, those who are set apart from God, well, it's right and appropriate to refer to them not only as the church, or as the kingdom of God, but also as the way. And I think that's what was referred to by Luke in Acts chapter 9 in verses 1 and 2. But it connotes certain things. It establishes some truths. And that is, number one, this is the way to salvation. That what these individuals are doing, again, are walking that walk to life. In Acts chapter 16, you might remember in verse 17 of that text, that the girl with the spirit of divination in Philippi went behind them, proclaiming loudly, following Paul, crying out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim unto us the way of salvation." And so the way is something that is significant and should be a precious expression for us because it denotes that idea of going the right direction, the direction that leads to life. And on this particular occasion, Paul was proclaiming the way to salvation. In Acts chapter 18, there is another passage that is familiar to each of us. We're told in verse 25, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him outside, explained to him, notice, the way of God more perfectly. And so Apollos and any of us, we have that responsibility to proclaim the way of God in an accurate fashion. The way of God is the way to salvation. And so when we talk about the way, I want you to keep that in mind. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we are walking in that way, that means that we are walking in such a way as to be following Him in our doctrine or teaching, in the manner of life that we live. We are His disciples. We are learners of Him. And that's the reference that I think is indicated by that phrase as it is used a number of times in Scripture. Now, when we talk about the way of Jesus, there are three encouraging things that I want to note. When we say the way of Jesus, we are talking about the way to God, as indicated by Jesus in John 14 and verse 6, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. If you want to get to God, if you want to have that reconciliation and that standing with God, it is necessary that you be of the way. I'd remind you of the text of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, where Jesus said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. And so if we're going to know the Father, the only way that we can know the Father is by going, in effect, through the Son, of establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ so that the Father can be revealed by Him to us. And so that invitation is given by our Lord. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the promise that is given to those who follow the way. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul describes Jesus as being the one through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Our access to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And so the way to God is the way of Jesus. We also want to add that the way to life, because that is the end result of the reconciliation with God. We who are separated from God die spiritually. Reconciliation gives us new life. And so long as we maintain that relationship, then we have life eternal in our grasp. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, again, as we note the part that Jesus as our Savior plays in this, He said, the thief does not come to steal and to kill but destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. When we talk about that life, I do want to note that there are a couple of things that we can emphasize. One has reference to the existence that we have as we are children of God living upon this earth. Our life is so much better as a result of the relationship that we enjoy with God in heaven. He lights up our life, and Jesus offers us a life with love that surpasses knowledge. The text of Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul refers to that, is the love that passes knowledge. And of course, in Philippians chapter 4, we have a peace which surpasses understanding. In the text of 1 Peter chapter 1, we are told that we can have joy that is inexpressible. Do you notice the superlatives that we're wrenching with regard to this? We have love that surpasses knowledge. We have peace that surpasses understanding. We have joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. And then as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and verse 17, thus we shall always be with the Lord. We have life after this life is over. And so in every sense of the term, whether it's referring to the degree, the nature of the life that we live on this earth as we give ourselves over to God through our obedience to Jesus Christ, a life that surpasses anything that this world has to offer in its joy, in its peace, and in its love, we also have the hope of life eternal after this life is finished. And then the third thing, the way of Jesus is the way to glory. The way to glory. I want you to notice a couple of passages which establish this. The first one is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in verse 10 of the text, there is this idea that in his second incarnation, as he comes back to this earth, that Jesus will be revealed in glory. Notice verse 10. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. He comes in that day to be glorified. But the interesting thing is, if you go just a couple of verses down, it is not only Jesus Christ who will be glorified, but we are told that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in us, and we what? We will be glorified in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at that, in that it is in that last day, I'm reminded of the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which talks about how this mortal will be swallowed up in immortality, that this corruptible will put on incorruption. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. And this mortal, corruptible body will be glorified. And as such, we will rise to meet the Lord in the air and thus be with him forever. I'm reminded of the text in Colossians 3 and verse 4, that tells us when Christ, who is our life, appears, that we will appear with him in glory. That's what is reserved for those who are of the way. Now again, in contrast with those who are outside of the body of Christ, they are without hope in this present world. But those of us who have named the name of Christ and become part of that group that is separated, that is sanctified for a holy purpose, we, because of our standing with God, receive God, life, and glory through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so I think this is an interesting study and a fairly short study this evening, but I wanted to just kind of talk a little bit about that phrase and get some of these points out to you as we examine that phrase as is used in Scripture. Now again, we alluded to at the beginning of our time together, there are many ways that we can refer to ourselves as those who are his. We can refer to ourselves as Christians, disciples, saints, branches, stones. There are a lot of different phrases that are used. And they each have a purpose as they are used as a metaphor to describe various aspects of our lives and relationship that we sustain with Christ. This idea of being of the way, keep in mind that idea that you're walking a path, and as long as that path is in that proper direction, if it is through Jesus, it is to eternity. And acknowledging that, we can, I think, have a proper understanding, at least help us to have a proper understanding of the great and glorious gifts that are ours through him. Now, are we going to be using the way? Are we going to start referring to ourselves as individuals of the way more often? I don't know. It doesn't seem to be particularly popular today. But don't give it up. And certainly, in your mind, keep that in view, that this is what we are, and that only we have the right to refer to ourselves in such a way. And most importantly, never stop thinking of Jesus as the way, and uniquely such, the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father except through him. And he invites you to come. When you look at that text, we read it a little bit earlier, referred to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, where Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All of those who are of the way have that comfort and that protection that is afforded because of the relationship that we sustain with him. He promises us salvation will be a part of the way. And so as we draw our lesson to a close, you'll notice the text that I have up on the board from Mark chapter 16. It's one that we're very familiar with. But it's an invitation that is afforded. And basically, this invitation is that you can be a part of that group that is referred to as the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Come to me. And we do that by repenting of our sins, confessing Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized to have our sins washed away. Jesus gave his disciples those instructions in Mark chapter 16 to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature with this promise. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Using our nomenclature tonight in our lesson, he will become one of those who are of the way. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So the choice is given to each and every one of us. Do we appreciate what it is that we have in Christ Jesus? Do we acknowledge and understand exactly what it is that he intends when he says that we are of the way? I hope that you do. And I hope that you have that understanding that would be sufficient to motivate you to live for the Lord and to be zealous in the work and the walk that you engage in as a child of God. We're going to offer an invitation at this time, not knowing the hearts of any. It may be that you're here this evening and not a child of God. And if that is the case, we want to give you this opportunity to become obedient to him, to be one of the way. If you're not living as you should and want to make amends and rededicate yourself to the Lord, if there is something amiss in your life and you would like the encouragement and the prayers of the saints, if you simply are discouraged or have a specific need that we can assist you with, the invitation is extended to all. And if there is anyone who is here this evening who has a need to respond, we offer it to you. Would you come while together we stand and while we sing?